A hunter green BMW pulled into Yahoo's parking lot on July 17, 2012. The driver, 5 months pregnant and fresh from Google, wasn't sure where to park. Inside, employees had prepared something remarkable: posters featuring her face with the word hope beneath it, styled after Obama's iconic campaign imagery. This wasn't just a new CEO arriving. This was Yahoo's last chance at redemption, embodied in a 37-year-old woman who'd never run a company before. The symbolism was almost too perfect. A once mighty internet pioneer, humbled by years of decline and leadership chaos, betting everything on someone who represented both Silicon Valley brilliance and a fresh start. Wall Street buzzed with optimism. Employees felt genuine excitement for the first time in years. But beneath the celebration lurked a harder truth. Marissa Mayer was inheriting a company so broken that four previous CEOs, each accomplished in their own right, had failed to fix it. Yahoo began in 1994 when Stanford grad students Jerry Yang and David Filo created Jerry's Guide to the World Wide Web, a simple list of interesting websites. They renamed it Yahoo, yet another hierarchical officious oracle, added an exclamation point, and designed it with playful Uncle Stinky font. Neither founder cared about business. Filo, raised on a commune, loved solving technical problems. Yang had never held a real job. When AOL offered $2 million in 1995, they refused. When Sequoia Capital offered $1 million for 25% ownership, they accepted. They needed server money. From 1996 to 1999, Yahoo exploded. Employees grew from 200 to 2,000. Daily page views jumped from 6 million to 167 million, and revenues rocketed from under 70 million to over 200 million. Their April 1996 IPO spiked 151%, making Yang and Filo worth $130 million each. By summer 1998, both were billionaires. The company's market cap hit $128 billion. Success bred arrogance. Yahoo squeezed well-funded startups for millions just to announce partnerships before IPOs. When the dot-com bubble burst in 2000, Yahoo's stock plummeted 87%. The party was over. Terry Semel joined Yahoo in 2001 at 58, twice the average employee's age, and unfamiliar with what he called internet. After 20 years running Warner Bros., growing revenues from $750 million to $11 billion, he arrived with a Gulfstream commute and commandeered conference room office. Silicon Valley mocked him as a Hollywood dinosaur. They were wrong. Over 5 years, Semel transformed Yahoo from a $98 million loss to $1.2 billion profit, growing market cap from $12.6 billion to $50 billion. His strategy? Hire salespeople with industry relationships, teach them to use phones, repair damaged agency connections. But Semel made one catastrophic error. He viewed search as commoditized infrastructure. Yahoo partnered with Google for search technology, dedicating only 6 of 4,000 employees to it. When he tried buying Google, the price jumped from $1 billion to $6 billion. Yahoo bought Inktomi and Overture for nearly $2 billion combined, but Google's superior algorithms won massive distribution deals. Yahoo also passed on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. Most painfully, Semel lowered a $1 billion Facebook offer to $850 million, causing Zuckerberg to walk away. Within a year, Facebook would be valued at $15 billion. By October 2006, Yahoo's stock had plummeted 38%. Brad Garlinghouse's Peanut Butter Manifesto criticized Yahoo's unfocused strategy of spreading resources too thin. When published, Semel received an unprecedented 40% withhold vote at the June 2007 shareholder meeting versus the typical 1-2%. Jerry Yang became CEO. On January 31, 2008, Microsoft's Steve Ballmer made a hostile bid, $31 per share, $45 billion, a 62% premium. Yang rejected it and adopted a poison pill defense. Microsoft raised its offer to $33 per share, $47 billion total. On May 3rd, Yang and Philo flew to Seattle without independent directors. Microsoft expected a counteroffer around $34.50. Instead, Yang demanded $37. When Ballmer asked if they were committed, he heard a clear no. Yahoo stock plummeted 20%. Activist Carl Icahn acquired 59 million shares and threatened to replace the board. By September, Yahoo stock fell below its pre-offer price. Yang stepped down in October 2008, his reputation permanently damaged. Carol Bartz became CDO in January 2009, known for transforming Autodesk into an S&P 500 top performer. She found Yahoo in chaos, 33 different code bases, products functioning differently by country, business units competing internally. She compared it to the Winchester Mystery House, a mansion with staircases leading nowhere. Despite opposition, she outsourced search to Microsoft in a 10-year deal, conceding defeat to Google. Destructive trends overwhelmed her: declining search share, Facebook overtaking display advertising, Yahoo mail usage dropping as smartphones grew. When Yahoo missed Wall Street expectations by $300 million in Q2 2011, board chairman Roy Bostock fired her over the phone on September 6th. She immediately emailed all 15,000 employees announcing her firing and told Fortune the board was full of doofuses. Scott Thompson became CEO on January 4, 2012, but activist investor Dan Loeb exposed his falsely claimed computer science degree. By May 13, Thompson resigned, five directors departed, and Loeb gained board seats. Meanwhile, Yahoo sold half its Alibaba stake for $7.1 billion, making it temporarily the only way investors could access the fast-growing Chinese company. But this protection had an expiration date. Marissa Meyer grew up in Wausau, Wisconsin, a brilliant introvert who connected better with teachers than peers. At Stanford, she switched from pre-med to symbolic systems, seeking critical thinking over memorization. Despite calculating a 98% chance Google would fail, she chose the risky startup over McKinsey, drawn by the chance to work with brilliant minds. Joining Google in July 1999, Meyer worked past 3 a.m. during frequent site crashes. She'd finally found her tribe. Unable to compete with elite coders, she carved out a niche in user interface design, rising to group leader. In 2002, she created Google's Associate Product Manager program, becoming de facto head of consumer products. Her demanding style drove about a dozen APMs to tears during her first 3 years. By 2010, everything had changed. Larry Page removed her from search, reassigned her to Maps, then excluded her from his L team as CEO. When Jeff Huber was placed above her, Meyer realized her path forward had vanished. In June 12, she presented Yahoo directors with a comprehensive turnaround plan. One immediately declared, "That's the next CEO of Yahoo." When offered the job, she revealed she was 5 months pregnant. It didn't change the offer. Meyer's first year brought dramatic changes: weekly all-hands meetings, free meals, new smartphones, and compressed timelines. She became the first pregnant Fortune 500 CEO, taking just 2 weeks maternity leave, sparking controversy. By late 2012, Yahoo's stock rose 24%, attendance soared, and resumes flooded in. She outbid Facebook for Tumblr at $1.1 billion. But problems festered. COO Henrique de Castro's reorganization damaged sales. Despite no control over search algorithms, Meyer believed interface improvements would reverse Yahoo's shrinking search share. It dropped further. She hired Katie Couric for $5 million, ignoring data showing users preferred celebrity stories over journalism. By fall 2013, morale collapsed. The rushed mail redesign failed spectacularly. Quarterly performance reviews forced curve grading, guaranteeing poor scores even on high-performing teams. De Castro's January 2014 firing came with $109 million severance. When Alibaba's September 2014 IPO brought Yahoo $10 billion, Yahoo's stock fell 5%. The market valued its core business at less than zero. Perhaps no one could save Yahoo. All were celebrated hires. All failed. The purple carpet had faded. The clock was ticking.